On this week's episode of the Superhero Show Show, we'll find out if Harry can seal the deal with Edie Patterson on Resident Alien, if Rick and Michonne are the ones who live on The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, and if Peter Parker can escape the hospital and Aunt May's kisses on Spider-Man the Animated Series. All of that and more on an all-new episode of the Superhero Show Show. What's up, nerds? Welcome to the Superhero Show Show, the only show on the internet that reviews every single live-action television show based on a comic book, as well as some of the animated shows. My name is Cassie, and I will be the host for this episode. In this episode, guys, a banger of an episode. Can you
hear
those dogs?
No, we can't hear them. Should we do that thing where we act like we already recorded the intro? Or like we recorded the episode and then recorded the intro and just be like, this is going to win Oscars. Tonight's show is going to be phenomenal.
Tonight's show is going to win last night's award ceremony. When you're listening to this, listeners.
It comes out at the same time as the Oscars. Are we competing with the Oscars?
We're competing.
Put it on.
No, look, shh. We don't do on-air meetings. It does come out Sunday nights, but that's for the Monday morning commute.
Right. But this is counter-programming. This is what it is. Oscars or Superhero Show Show.
We have our brown carpet that we walk up every time.
Why is it brown?
Because of the poop!
Cassie, are your dogs done? Can you chime in?
Yeah, I absolutely can. I think we have it... How many Oscars? I think I could take home 3 Oscars tonight.
Wait, are we talking about how many we can legitimately hold in our hands?
Yeah, because they are pretty big, and I think I can handle 3 if I do like the drink technique, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I can get 3 of those baddies in my hands.
Like a waitress.
When you're holding those drinks, your fingers are just in the liquid?
Yeah, the proper technique. Everyone really appreciates it, and it's just like that fun thing. When Cassie's getting drinks, you're getting some finger juice in there.
Made with love, and by love we mean Cassie's finger taste.
Hey, producer Dave, I'm gonna need you to make a drop of that, please.
There's gonna be so many times that are applicable to drop finger juice.
I agree, but no, I think that what we did a couple days ago when we recorded the rest of the show that this is the intro for was truly amazing. I think that people are going to laugh and cry and hurl the Wayne's World special.
Sublime, divinely inspired. Sorry, I'm just reading early critic reviews of that episode.
Are you on Roddy Tots right now?
I'm on Roddy Tots, colon Potty Tots, which is all about, it's Podcast Tomatoes, and that is their podcast offshoot, yes.
Cassie, real quick, I have some commentary on the intro. I know we're talking about the rest of the show, but some commentary on the intro. Mike, who is a co-producer with Dave and a panelist, a guest panelist tonight, we'll see if this pans out, always has an issue with us bringing up poop as like soon as the show starts. Who brought it up tonight first, Cassie?
Yeah, you see, it's always the ones who complain the most about the issue that are the ones fucking doing it.
So Mike's a Republican is what you're saying.
I was sometimes if you can't beat him, join him. Join him down in the muck. And by muck, yes, I mean
the
feces.
Poop.
The poop.
The poop. But we're going to make other people's dreams come true by putting out a banger of an episode because they will be crying, and not just at the memoriam at the end. Spoiler alert, Mike does die. Sorry, prep everyone for that.
Oh, snap.
In the second to last segment, the last segment is an in memoriam to Mike, which we got that put together quick.
Yeah, it feels like you guys had that made. Also, I guess, hi, I'm the new Mike. Kind of like...
Oh, yeah, he already died.
The Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah.
There's several, and there's like, this is new Curly. Curly Joe? I'm new Mike. I'm Mike Joe. What up? I'm like the old Mike, but worse.
Worse in what way?
Well, I bring up poop.
Oh, okay, cool.
They told me I had to have one character trait, and it's that I bring up poop.
I put all my stats in brings up poop.
I'm a min-max.
Yes, it's min-max.
Minimum in charm, podcasting talent, looks, everything else. Max, bring it up poop.
Bringing up that poop. I also didn't introduce Ryan. Ryan is here. He's part of the pod.
Kessie, I think it's so weird that people put up with us talking about Resident Alien or Spider-Man the Animated Series or The Walking Dead when they're here for this, right?
Yes.
They're here for this.
Time and
yeah.
time.
Well, it would be embarrassing to say, I listen for these three chuds being chuds together. So you're like, no, I listen for Resident Alien. Way less embarrassing.
We get floods of emails saying, like, you guys don't even need to talk about shows. Why don't you talk less about those? I'm here for you guys. The people love us. Which is going to crush them when Mike dies.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They don't even know what they're about to hear. It's seriously, like, imagine the next episode is, like, or the episode that you're about to hear is, like, I would say the emotional equal of watching a gorilla give birth while she's being shot in the head. Like, it's
oh my
just
God.
So much stuff.
I didn't know where that story was going.
You could tell he didn't fully either. It was by the seat of his pants, just really throwing out whatever.
Also, twist, her newborn baby is the one that pulled the trigger. Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan.
That should win an Oscar.
So get ready for all of that that's happening. As Ryan mentioned, we also are talking about Spider-Man the Animated Series. Of course, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. But before we get to all of that, let's go to our main event and talk about Resident Alien. On this week's episode of Resident Alien, Bird Lady is getting used to making Earth her temporary home thanks to a thrown banana. Luckily, she transforms into actress Edie Patterson, so we don't have to look at that fucking disgusting bird monster anymore. Unluckily, she runs into Alan Tudyk, and those two dicks are erect for her. Meanwhile, Darcy is contemplating life choices, and the sheriffs might be getting closer to figuring out that there are aliens on Earth. We also get a subplot about Asta's daughter going back to the res to meet her relatives. Taste buds, I ask you this. Between this show, The Curse, and Reservation Dogs, do indigenous people have too much representation on television?
Cassie!
That's a disgusting question, man.
Did you seriously just ask us that?
I think we're in a great golden era that I hope continues.
I have to agree with Mike here, Cassie. What yeah, you just asked was horrifying.
It's me here. This is me from my heart saying this. Is there
is
too
not
much?
Okay.
I can say they do use a lot of the same actors. Specifically, my man who will always be like, my look is a leather vest, and I need to be in a leather vest in one of these.
Oh, you didn't even mention Echo in your disgusting, horrifying, racist question.
Or Killers of the Flower Moon.
Or Killers.
God damn it. I'm the worst.
Dude, should we talk about any other part? Because I don't want to hear more of Cassie's hate.
Any other part. Specifically, actually, let's start with Bird Lady. What a joy. What a joy to bring her onto the show.
God damn it. Like, I guess I feel awful because we should have concocted us this, you guys.
Yes.
Like, this podcast is for saying things like, Edie Patterson and Alan Tudyk should be on the screen together in the show Resident Alien.
Do you know what's bananas? The thing that Darcy throws through the portal to break it down to trap Edie Patterson in Earth. Also that this is, whether you know her from Righteous Gemstones or Comedy Bang Bang as Bean Dip, this is her most human, grounded character. And she's a 6-foot-tall blue bird lady. That's
bonkers. So you mean even in the CGI getup?
Yes.
It's one of her most human
It's
characters.
Her most emotionally grounded characters we've seen her be.
Not to skip to the end, but she comes in at the end and gets a little note from Alan Tudyk and reacts to it like, oh, God. Oh. And that's like that. I've never seen her do anything just that. Like that, like, human.
Have empathy?
Yeah.
She needs to let him down.
Anything that's not absolutely shitting on a person, I've never witnessed her do.
Do you think it's weird that in her rider she can only act opposite redheads for her romantic leads?
I don't think that's weird at all. In fact, I love that.
For no specific reason.
Just so everybody is clear, though, if you're coming in here for some Edie Patterson, you know how, like, sometimes big, like, not just big blockbuster-wise, but big, like, broad comedy stars would, like, take smaller parts, but they would have to have a scene or two in the drama where they did their thing, you know, like Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler and Punch Drunk Love, you would still have to have a scene
right,
so they could put that in the trailer. She is still in a doctor's office with Alan Tudyk, making the craziest Edie Patterson faces and voices yes, the entire time.
That is true. Like, when she's laughing or, like, mimicking something, yeah, she Edies out.
That's what I think. I don't
I'm
know.
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. Cassie, hold on real quick. What did you say, Mike? What
she do you Edies want to do that out? For? I just heard it. Sometimes you say stuff and you don't think about it.
The gift of podcasting.
She puts those bird ankles on your shoulders.
Unlike Batman, she canonically Edies out.
It took 2 minutes into the intro to get to poop. It took 3 minutes in the main event to getting to eating out. I'm proud of you guys.
We've bird cunnilingus?
We all knew it would be.
Coacula lingus? we learn through Harry that her species is... Everybody, the entire universe finds hot. They are the angelic everybody's dreamboats.
It's the Austin Butler that everybody has taped above their bed to go to sleep.
Hey, mama,
to.
I'm a bird, mama.
Oh, God, will Edie Patterson in like future roles not be able to shake off her bird accent?
Yeah, she's going to be bird lady.
That's devastating.
From here on out.
Just always walking like she has giant wings. They're like, the fuck's wrong with you? This one, like every time... The show doesn't need to feel like it's being brought up to like a new level, but her as an addition to it just really made it feel like this is what we fucking needed. And we weren't even suffering, but right. God, it just felt so good.
Do you know what's awesome is Harry looks down upon and or like puts himself upon other people. He doesn't think about them, but him trying to seem cool to her is such a fun game of the episode where she's just like pizza. She's clearly been Heather, rhymes with feather. Why didn't anybody tell her that before she picked her name? She clearly has been.
Did you guys
before.
All think that immediately, even yes. before Darcy said it, by the way?
And then it did. I was like, yes, this is why we love this show. She's been there. She hates pizza. And Harry has to be like, I hate pizza. We are the same. And we fucking know he loves pizza.
Guys, there's so much visual evidence of him loving pizza. This also struck me too. I know I live in my bubble, and it's a very Comedy Bang Bang, Righteous Gemstones filled bubble. But like, this feels like a get more than John Locke from Lost or Linda Hamilton from Terminator 2. Like, this is a big deal to me,
for sure. Because those are big deals to like sci-fi nerds, but we are in a upper echelon. Some would say comedy nerds.
Comedy nerds, the best kinds. But we do have this whole story. She is stuck here because they threw a banana through her portal. So the portal's all fucked.
Was the best banana.
I can't believe
Darcy did that.
And that's, again, the show is us. When she threw that banana, I was like, damn, that looks like a good banana. And I did feel devastated that I was on the same level. But she is stuck here. And they're trying to get, like, Harry ends up appealing to her or countersuing the council, the housing council.
Yeah.
And which, from what I can tell, means he just has to make a diorama.
No, that's separate. He's been making the diorama before all this happened to try to figure out what their... It's weird because he's like, I need to figure out what their plan is. Bro, you said it last episode. Just watch last episode because you told all of us what they're going to do. I don't know. I think... Like us, the writers of Resident Alien don't necessarily care about the plot, so they also forgot that last episode Harry said what the Greys were doing.
But like we watch a lot of TV, and I know it's our job and it's how we bring in the big books, but like there was a big reveal tonight of no, one other person has dealt with the aliens, and then Linda Hamilton goes to this guy doing yoga, and I was like, is that the guy from iZombie?
No. He was...
I don't remember him at all.
He was one of her agents. Back before we met Linda Hamilton, there was these two agents, him and a psycho lady who liked killing people like 2 seasons ago, maybe. And it was... Yeah, love this show. And I'm normally the guy who's very good at remembering characters and character names. And I just went, for way too long.
Yeah, I think he was just like the level-headed one from what I remember. But again, This
is an odd job. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to go do yoga. Makes perfect sense. But then Linda Hamilton throws down the whole, let's see what happens if you say no to me. Yeah. That's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
Can't say no to Linda Hamilton.
No.
We mentioned it in the intro, and Harry's trying to play cool because he's like, he has this crush on this bird lady. And this gave us an answer to, somewhat of an answer to last week when we were like, is Harry and Asta's relationship just platonic? And we did have an answer from his stance, which it absolutely was, because he was like, now I see what the other type of love is. But then we also get Asta feeling kind of jealous, so they're still toying with it.
They are, but they're not. And like, I think it's crazy that they clearly listened to last week's episode and then like settled it. Last week's podcast of ours.
Yes.
And then settled it in this episode. Like, but I think that's it's a no-go.
And again, for such the funniest television on TV, and it's about goofy aliens who talk in fart noises, and it's one of the most beautiful languages in the universe, it can be complicated when you have a new adult friendship. And Asta kind of figures it out in real time with her dad, because he's like, do you want more? And she's like, no, yes, no. I'm just used to it only being me and him, and that is different than, and I want to jump some bones.
Yeah, but it's a little less subtle than that, though, because her first response is like, not romantically.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Cassie, Mike, and Ryan, if you're out there watching this and you're about to podcast about it, not romantically.
But what I like is she says that, but then she pauses because Asta is deep in self-realizing, and she goes, huh. And so it's not just brushing off. Asta, the character, thinks about it, and then Foley's like, no.
Yeah.
And we also have, last week we talked about, like, are they going to give Darcy justice? We are getting some more Darcy as she's realizing that she gave up possibly the best thing in her life.
Yeah.
With,
he was great.
Ex. And she sees, like, how good he's doing, and she's like, it looks like I'm doing nothing, but I'm helping save the universe. Like, so she's toiling with a lot over there.
She has a question. If you do something special but can't tell anybody, are you still special? And we thought Darcy's only problem was like alcoholism. No, Darcy's going through that. That hits. It's not, are you still doing something special? Are you still like, she is like at sixth grade level self-esteem and self-worth. Like she has a lot of therapy she needs to go through.
But I mean, like, Darcy hits on two major things in this episode. One, I donated to charity, but I want my name on that brick that says that I did. And if I can't have my name on the brick that, you know, builds the park or whatever, does it even count? Like, that's rough. And then I think she defined love, this question that has been bugging humans since the dawn of man. She was like, I saw him happy, my ex, and I was glad because I want him to stay happy even though I want to be with him. Mm-hmm. I think that means I'm in love with him. Darcy, fucking, it was a roller coaster this week.
Yeah. And then we didn't get a lot of the mayor and his wife, but what we did get, the wife still fucking going through it, and she has a new outlet, and it's comic or illustrations for a children's book, which a fucked up children's book.
She's basically like designing the binder of a future school shooter. Like, that's what her art looks like.
It's just owls gutting other animals. And she keeps being like, but it's for kids. And she is very upset when the mayor looks at it.
Yeah. Very
upset. That's it. It's like
when Max sees it.
Well, sure, because now he's traumatized forever. And Max has got, like, what, 3 traumas left before he is. He's not an okay person. Like, he is a future rail riding hobo. But she finally looks at it at some point and says, like, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? And then Max says, I saw this movie once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was just saying real life stuff, but like saying I saw it in a movie where if you see an owl, that means that you've been abducted by aliens. I thought for sure he was going to say, I saw a movie once where an owl comes in. That means that you're about to die. That's Killers of the Flower Moon by Martin Scorsese. What if Max was a diehard Scorsese?
He
brought up Killers.
Scorsese. But it's, do you know what's crazy? His favorite Scorsese, After Hours. After that, Alice doesn't live here anymore. He does Scorsese deep cuts, this 12-year-old.
This is a guy who thinks that New York, New York is better than Goodfellas. And that's why he's bullied on the playground.
Yeah. Get out of here, bobblehead weirdo.
Is this an outlet for you guys now? Am I just letting you guys have your thing?
Yeah, let us cook. We don't believe any of that. That would all be insane, though. After
that's
Hours
what
is
Max
underrated.
Believes.
Yeah.
Not what we believe.
I love, he does say, he's like, hey, that means, though, we learned a couple episodes ago, connecting Killer Flowers and Moon, other of the indigenous characters on this show have said that. They're like, owl means there's death around you. So Max says, yeah. like, it's not deaths around you, it's the alien abductions. Everybody's like, what? And then he goes, does your butt hurt? Which we've shat on this kid a lot, but that it was a beautiful delivery and it made me chortle.
He's doing good this season. I'm proud of this kid.
But the mayor then says, Max, that's not dinner talk. I feel like if your butt hurts, we should talk about it as soon as possible.
Yeah, go to a doctor. Butt shouldn't hurt.
As people who don't know anything about this, definitely. We already didn't have, like, the show is already doing a lot with all of its characters. But then we also have Asta's daughter, who is, like, filling out applications to a college. And the, like, prompt is, like, essentially tell me about your family and, like, how this made you as a person or whatever. And she's like, well, I come all from adoption. So how can I know this? And then they take her to the res so she can, like, get to see what her family is.
Oh, I love how Cassie, like, watches a couple of TV shows with indigenous people and she can just throw out the word res. Like, oh, she goes the res. Do you call it res alien? Is that how familiar you are?
Hey, you know what? At least she says alien and not evil like some morons.
Some morons.
Some morons once told me. Okay, a couple of bunk things here. You can still write this essay, and you will write the best essay because of how adopted you were. That's your family story, bro. Yeah. Second of all, Asta was also adopted?
Well, it's her dad isn't her dad.
That's adopted.
Oh. Yeah, I guess so. Sorry.
I didn't remember that part. So, but that's crazy, though, how it runs in the family, I guess.
Yeah, adoption runs in the family, which is interesting because shouldn't it not? I love this. It's clear like an engagement party. There's like a bunch of people. It's not all for Jay. A bunch of people are in town anyway. And her cousin and his fiance, they're both like, oh, where's your short king boyfriend? And I didn't know Harry was short, but yeah. It's very, if that somebody heard that like young phrase, they're like, well, the gays would say it. So we're putting it in there.
And like as many things as this show handles well, the fact that there was a gay couple there was so spotlighted. Like, they hung a lantern on how much they just touched and said, oh, no, baby, whatever. Like, they're just you know, it's just a normal couple, guys. Just we can just do that.
But they put the gays on the TV, so we applaud them. They're an ally.
Resident ally.
Other than
residential
this, we just have
Galian? Sorry.
God, yes. Other than this, we have the sheriff and the deputy who get inside this dude's van. This plot line is the most where I get messed up, but I know they're getting some secrets from this.
I think they're very wisely having Sheriff Mike be in the most plot heavy part of the show.
Yeah,
this is all about the mystery, so let's have our guy who, again, we don't think is an actual cast member. He just keeps wandering around at the set. Handle everything and spew his beautiful nonsense.
I was wondering why I didn't react to this episode as much as I do other episodes positively. And I think that it maybe was, like, not the best Sheriff Mike episode. There was some bit about Transformers. And
that was a struggle. That one was rough.
That was a struggle. But we had some beautiful lines that I don't want to get to yet.
You know what? We can go ahead and get to him because that's basically all the plot lines that we had on this one. So, Mike, let's go to your moments of the week.
Thank you. I have several. Sheriff Mike, they're talking about the van and, like, there's the key missing and there's evidence that shouldn't be evidence. And he says, could we be facing a supervillain? I can't handle that. And that's, like, the first time we've ever heard him admit that he couldn't handle something. And then very quickly, he's, like, talking about somebody's thinking. And he's like, luckily, you can't get arrested for your thoughts yet. And then a perfect beat, and he says, I'm working on that. It's not that he's against thought police. He wants to be one.
But in this situation, he would be the one that was arrested.
Yes.
So he fights both, against himself.
He's both Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive at the end of that tunnel. And then a floating note I have that is just a beautiful quote, and I cannot remember who says it in what context is, does your voice sound like wet underwear?
I don't even know where that was.
Probably a Harry line.
That was a Harry line talking about Katie Britt, who gave the rebuttal to the State of the Union.
Topical.
Thank you.
Ryan, what's your moment of the week?
Oh, man. That could we be facing a supervillain was important to me because we are a comic book TV watching podcast and it really hit home. But my, I think that my moment of the week was Bird Lady Edie and Harry were at the diner and he says something weird and she's like, why are you showing emotion? And he's like, oh, that's probably the human in me. And then she's like, you ate a human. And then he kind of like laughs like, ha ha ha, you misunderstood what I was saying. And that's actually the most human moment because mm-hmm. we have all these things of like how when you come to the planet, whether you're Drax the Destroyer or whatever, you don't get like jokes like that. You don't understand how phrases right. could mean different things. And for him to find it humorous that Bird Lady thought he ate a human, that's him being a human. Like, I think that he's like officially now almost 51%, maybe more human than alien.
Yeah, he's definitely, and he knows it too, which we just see, he's totally at peace now, which is good.
He still wants to fuck giant birds, which I don't
absolutely.
I think it's weird, but like,
does, oh.
Oh, weird. Speaking of the Bird Lady, she, like, the fact that this character came in and could just like vibe with all of them, like as soon as she comes through the portal, my moment of the week is like her when she's having the back and forth with Darcy. First of all, when Darcy's like, oh, Heather Feather, and then she, when she figures out that she has to stay there, she's like, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, and Darcy just responds with, do we lay down some newspaper?
Yeah.
So
do you know what I'm realizing? If this show came out in our childhood instead of Cassie's current childhood, would this have been Janine Garofalo playing Darcy?
Oh, yes. I was trying to imagine her as Heather, and I was like, probably not. But yes, Darcy, yes.
Janine Garofalo is not a bird, so no. Real quick bonus moment of the week. Just when we think that the bird jokes are over and we think it's all about the romance, Harry and Heather are looking at each other through a window, and Heather... in her bird form, flies directly into the window.
And that point had been 40 minutes since a bird joke happened.
I know. I was just like,
so
get that
funny.
Last one out. Res aliens.
Birds are stupid.
It's not a clean window. It has like, it's a cabin, so it's got the little window pane. So I was like, oh. Resident Alien is on Sci-Fi. Please watch it. It's delightful.
Guys, just watch it. What are we doing here?
Watch it. Let's talk about a website now. Mike, can you please tell me about a website idea that you got rolling around in that noggin?
I have so many beautiful ideas that you and the world are not even ready for. Witchsnacks.org. What?
I was going to say, is it howimproviserstall.com? Where you teach them?
I'm going to sip this invisible drink for a second, go over to my chips and queso nobody can see, and go, that's good. Witchsnacks.org is where you can go to get all of your witch snacks, which of course means what are the snacks you can put on your fingers to pretend you're a witch before eating them one by one off your fingertips. So that is, of course, WITCHSNAX, because we got to spell something weird there. We have your bugles.
Is there
of course.
Anything else besides bugles?
Yeah, I was really excited for the second thing in this list.
It's mostly different flavors of bugles. We have different, what is not fruit by the foot, but what was the one that fruit plastic
roll
candy?
Up.
Fruit roll ups, because you could make those jagged at the end. Ring pops. It's a lot of stuff that you could, whatever snacks you want to finger, we got them at witchsnacks.org.
Nope. You know what?
Can I make, how can I make this website? That should definitely exist.
And we are people, I'm going to send you to people, and they're no relation to this. It's unfortunate they have to follow right after this. Cybersprout.net, they're your partner for a digital world. They love snacks, and they love helping you build a beautiful website because they offer premium hosting that's specifically built for WordPress. They have drag and drop templates if you want to get in there. They make it easy to edit. They work hand in hand with you and focus on collaboration. Cybersprout.net, your partner for a digital world. Coming up next, let's go to our pull list. We are back for the pull list where we talk about all the other shows we watched this week. The only show was The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. On the second episode of The Ones Who Lived, we see what Michonne has been up to in the last 6 years. And guys, it's a lot of trying to survive, wandering, meeting up with other survivors, and killing walkers. Speaking of, we meet a group who helped Michonne after being attacked by a horde. And said group was like, join us. And Michonne was like, nah, that place sucks and is going to have weird rules, so bye. And then the group meets up with her later and they're like, hey, you were right, that place sucked and had weird rules. And they're like, now let's hang out. And she's like, cool, let's take down the CRM helicopter. And they're like, hell yeah. And that's how we get to Rick and Michonne reuniting again. Taste buds, I ask you, does it feel like the show is already struggling if the only the second ep they are retelling the same story as the first one?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the first one, it's the first 12 seasons of the Walking Dead original series. Yeah. Of meet a group, no, they're sketchy, no, I guess we'll do it, but they did it in an episode, so I guess that's admirable.
They're speeding it up at least, but it's just, it's not sounding good over there.
It's very like highly rated on Metacritic. People are, I think, watching it and liking it. Is this what I like to call Tayloritis, which is former host of this podcast, Taylor, would just every once in a while be like, guys, it's back. Is this just like hopeful thinking, wishful thinking?
It's the way, like, if you're in an abusive relationship, you go, no, it got better.
It's good.
It fixed things. There is an afterglow where enough critics slapped them back around, and then so The Walking Dead's like, all right, we'll do it. And people are like, no, I think it's better because it's not as trash as the trashiest Walking Dead. It'll burn us again, fools. Don't get burnt again. Leave them.
Leave them. It's also, I think it helps that it was like two of like the favorite people of the series, yes. And yeah. We haven't had them in so long, so people are like, fuck, yeah. But
it's... Danai Gurira has always been slumming it on The Walking Dead. She's such a great actress. And I think people are just being tricked.
Yeah.
They're just being tricked by her talent. There's no way the writing's there.
I think there's this thing with critics on websites like Metacritic and Roddy Tots, like where there's this base level that you have to hit of like good production design.
Right.
You're well made. Like we can tell that you tried. And that gets you to like a B.
It shouldn't. That's just money. That's not inventiveness. That's not care.
Well, I think that the people like the... You know, the people on the show.
Oh, the production designers and the art directing. Sure, they are caring. They're working their asses off.
But if you... I'm going to get back to a time where, like, if the below-the-line people did incredible work, but there is no there, then it's an F. It's a one-star thing. Those production designers and whoever, the below-the-line people, should get future jobs and go work on better projects. But there can't be this baseline of, like, it looked good, so therefore... It can't be lower than a B minus. That's not true. We're talking about a show
we
didn't watch. But...
What? We all watched it, clearly.
Oh, The Last of Us is a perfect example of, I thought that show looked great. It had nothing for me. But that's a baseline show to me.
It was better than this. That's what it had
for me. That feels so mean. That feels so cruel to say to this. I'm ending this now because of you've hurt my little boy. The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived, is Sundays on AMC. If you want to watch it... Coming up next, let's go head over to the bullpen. We are back for the bullpen. For those who don't know, the bullpen is a fun little segment that we'll do. But what you may not know is that it takes some time to come up with these bullpens. So me and the board thought it would be fun to take this on air time, call out a bullpen, and be like, hey, let's figure out what we could do for a bullpen. So I would just like to open up the floor to any future bullpen pitches that you may have.
I'm sorry, real quick. I have a bullpen idea. It's Issues with What Cassie Says, hosted by Ryan.
Okay.
Did you say that me and the board came up with this? Because usually the board will hand down decrees, but you got to see them and talk to them?
They've been getting pretty chummy over the last couple years.
Not a fan.
Cool.
There's no reason for you guys to worry about this. Also, no reason for you to worry about how I keep getting to be the only person to go on the company trips. It's no problem at all.
That's where it started, actually. Yeah. I remembered that we heard that there's company trips that Cassie gets to go on.
Do you remember the time we had to sleep outside of a hotel, behind a hotel, because of Cassie's dry bar? Like, her bar was so luxurious that's where all the budget went to.
I kept throwing like loose trail mix at you guys from the wet bar, though. So,
oh, what a cool friend!
Yeah, I thought we all had a great time that trip.
I lost 30% of vision in my left eye because of that loose trail mix. Thank you very much.
We cannot claim that for workers' comp. It was off company time, not related to it. You were off.
I would not have been there if not for the comp. We can't go through this again. My lawyer says I need to stop.
It's
Cassie was wearing a diamond encrusted like helmet with two bottles of Jaeger with two straws going into her mouth. That was probably $10 million, I'm going to guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
Jaeger is a couple million a bottle. Yeah, so yeah. It's all in the Jaeger, but it was worth it, you guys. Feel confident in that. But we are not here to talk about how close me and the board are. We are here to talk about bullpen pitches. Ryan, do you happen to have any ideas for what we could do for a future bullpen?
You know I do, Cassie. Let's start with this dazzler. We all miss from last year or the year before, or maybe the year before, or potentially the year before that, the Try Guys.
Mm.
Where are they? One of them was a wife guy, but not a wife. I don't really understand what happened.
I learned about them when that went down.
Had to fall apart, yeah. The Rye Guys. So Ryan, Rye is half my name, R-Y. Yeah. So we're the Rye Guys, and we try things, but we call ourselves the Rye Guys.
Can I be a Rye wife guy?
Yeah, a Rye Y?
A Rye Y?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know what it means yet, but I think I am already.
Do we all have to change our name to Ryan to be a Rye Guy?
No, you guys are honorary, I guess, Rye Guys.
So we're like the backup band.
Oh, was that not clear? Yes, for sure.
I don't see, like, I'm kind of the lead here, and I like the vibe of that, so I don't know if I can kind of flip around and take a back seat here.
Wait, hold on. I'm getting a memo from the board. No, yes, Cassie, yes. You're... yeah, it's
what
fine.
Are we trying?
We try...
Or rying.
Rye bread. Rye wit.
Rilo Kiley.
Rilo Kiley is, of course, a musician that I've heard. He's very good.
They're great. I don't want anybody to think my
I didn't mean to miss.
Great.
I didn't.
No, Rilo Kiley's a band, you halfwit.
Fucking halfwit, which means we absolutely are not going to be the Rye Guys. Throw that one out of here. Terrible.
We're deciding right now on the spot.
Yeah.
It's just out.
I didn't know we were going to until you pitched that quote unquote dazzler piece of poop. And we absolutely are not going to do that. So, Mike, please save us. What do you got?
Yeah. I have a good one that's also is related to what we do on the show. It's called Is This a Comic? And it's sprinkled throughout the whole episode. So this will be every couple months a time where somebody has to bring to the table, I want to do this kind of show. Is this a comic? And we hash it out in those 10 minutes instead of sprinkled out over six passive aggressive months.
Oh, wait. So is it like we watch a Matt Rife TikTok?
And I say, no, he's not a comic.
Okay, so that's decided right away.
But it's like, Caitlin's like, why aren't we doing Ahsoka? And we go, is this originally a comic? No, it's not.
I understand.
Is manga a comic? Yes, it is. So, like, we hash out those things about shows.
Hey, Mike, I have a question real quick.
Sure.
I made toast for breakfast the other day. Is that a comic?
It's not a comic.
Oh, so we will not be reviewing it on the show. Good to know.
We will not
to
be
know.
Reviewing it.
Okay,
even
but
if
what
it's
if, like, Ryan made toast in the morning, and then he made a comic about it, or made a little illustration, put it up on the fucking internet?
Then I would have to make a TV show about that comic, about me making toast.
Uh-huh. It has to originally be a comic.
Otherwise, originally.
With the first thing... Of that franchise has to be a comic.
The question was, what?
Yeah, that's the most obvious. What?
I thought a time frame, like it had to be from like the 1950s to be originally. I realized that was dumb on me. I will take the L on this
okay.
one.
Thank you. Because I was steam.
This
about
is
to come out of my ears.
This is like a 9 month old argument between the three of us that has now been fixed. Look at us.
Wait,
is this all we had to ask?
Sometimes people talk it out.
We got there, guys. And the bullpens are about healing, ultimately. So,
do you have a
Ryan,
question, though, Mike?
Raising your hand.
Yeah. Is the show Wednesday based on a comic?
Did we cover it?
No.
Then no.
Okay, it's, so that's the rule.
Is that circular?
Hey, Republican, just say that that's how the rules work, is whatever I say now.
I remember talking with Scotty McLeod.
Scotty McLeod, there we go, boy.
And the reason Wednesday is not a comic is because it has to be a sequential series of illustrations, and the original Charles Adams cartoon it was a panel,
single panel, therefore not a comic. Oh, but Mike, that does bring into question real quick the fact that we did not cover Ashoka, despite the fact that none of this applies.
No, way yeah. More than Ashoka is why did we not cover All of Us Are Dead? I don't know, board. I don't know.
The board does not recognize.
Hey, Cassie, why don't you go fucking run that up to the board because you're so chummy with them? Why don't you go have lunch with them?
Why don't you tell it to the board?
We're a little too busy talking about like future trips and stuff, so I don't think I'll have time for that. Those are great, Mike. Better idea than Ryan's, absolutely. But I think the best bullpen idea that I'm going to throw out to you guys right now: what if we figured out what type of Batwheel we were, like what type of car we would be if we were in the Batwheels world?
I legit like this.
Easy. I'll do it right now. Mike, segue. Cassie, segue. Ryan, segue.
Because okay, we're so good at segues.
Actually, Cassie, no, Cassie's not a segue in that case.
Ryan, Gremlin, because he blows up in that ass. I know that about cars.
And creatures.
Gremlins blow up that ass. If we're talking about Greta.
And now we've gotten to a weird point, which is when I like to end a segment.
No, hold on. Cassie, you said bullpen. This is a regular segment, and every week we do what Batwheel we are every week?
Every week.
I have two more that I think you guys would like. Can I get them out real fast?
You absolutely can.
Okay. So we take bets on what we think is going to happen throughout the season and all of our shows. Mm-hmm. We're gambling. Okay, it's like we're in Vegas.
Love Vegas.
And you do have to actually follow through with the bet. So it's like Mike says, Cassie, I bet you that Harry and Asta will actually hook up. And okay. Cassie says no. And then Cassie has to shave her head if they don't hook up.
And now, do we get to declare the punishment beforehand, or is it always retroactive?
You have to, you have to say it ahead of time, and it's always shaving your head. But here's the title of the segment, because what do you go to in Vegas? What are they called?
Casinos.
Yeah. Who's the host of the show?
Cassie, no!
Casino, right? It's right there.
It writes itself.
It's perfect.
It Matt Ripes itself.
You should have started with that one, Ryan. That one was good.
Well, no, the Ryan Guys was a banger. But my final one, and if you guys don't want to do this, I understand. But whenever we only do stuff based on comic books. And I'm about to suggest something based on a novel. But anytime it's just the three of us and nobody else, just the three of us, we review a Twilight movie and we talk about Twilight the entire time.
Yeah.
And those are hard-hitting novels.
Absolutely.
I'm for
novels.
It.
We have to do this. This is the one that's going through, and we will be doing this every week.
If there's ever a fourth on the show, like the three of us and somebody else,
not gonna mention
Twilight.
There would be time.
Yeah, we're not going to do it. But when it's just the three of us, we do it.
To make this last longer, can I pitch? It's when it's just the three of us, it's one of those by-the-minute shows.
Perfect.
Oh, God, love that.
Those are so great. We got to do minute-by-minute Twilight breakdown.
Hold on. But if we can combine my best idea and my most recent idea, Rylight.
I was going to say the Twi guys.
We're Rye guys and we're Try guys in Frylight. Huh?
Eh? Garbage. That's the bullpen. Thank you guys for joining. Let's go talk about Spider-Man now. Welcome to S-Taz Bitch, a mini show within a show where we take an in-depth episode-by-episode look at Fox's seminal and underrated early morning cartoon from the mid-90s, Spider-Man. This week we watched Neogenic Nightmare Chapter 2, so we're picking right back up from the first one, which means Aunt May is still in that waiting room waiting to see Peter while Spider-Man is getting his ass kicked by the gay icon, Shocker.
I love that new take on Shocker.
Wait, if
what do you mean new take on this? He's always
the Shocker is gay. Like I get
no. He's not gay, but he is a gay icon.
Gay icon.
The two for the pink, but where does the stink go? No, wait. The two for the stink? One for the pink and two for the stink, right?
Balls are pink too, Ryan. Balls are pink too.
Never forget. Before, while Ryan's still figuring that out, we are having this. We have this whole fight going on, and while that's going on, Mysterio. So sorry. Drops a VR cube, and it kind of just falls open, and the fake jungle appears. Because how else do you make a fight better? Throw it in the jungle. It's a fake jungle. It fucking kicks ass. And Peter's like, wow, I can't believe this is like a real jungle. There's like straight up a rhino here and a scorpion and an octopus. And I was like, what fucking jungle is this bitch ever been to?
Is this the first time that Peter realizes that all of his villains are in love with animals?
I thought a joke was going to come from that. And then he just let that slide because he's not actually funny or clever.
Yeah.
Okay. Careful.
Version.
This version.
This version sucks, and we can all agree on that.
But this is why I think that they couldn't have Kraven, who I believe was a part of the Sinister Six, in the Insidious Six, because he'd be like, look at all these animals. I want to hunt these animals.
Yeah.
I want to hunt that rhino.
I'm not that rhino so bad.
While this is happening, Doc Ock does capture him, and Fisk is like, you've done it. I'm so fucking proud of you. And at the same time, a crime lord calls up Fisk, and he's like, hey,
Silvermane, one of the five other crime lords who represents all of the crime lords.
Crime Central. They work for Crime Central.
They're Crime Central. Happy when crime is up. They are bummed when crime is down.
Is it Silvermane?
Silvermane, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Much like your guys' favorite Lex Luthor.
I was going to say fucking Smallville Daddy. Granddad over there.
Who has a Silvermane.
At the same time, the Silvermane calls up Fisk and is like, hey, time's up. You're fucking bad at crime. We're kicking you out of here. And then Fisk is like, no, hold up. My plan has come true. I've got the Spider-Man.
He video calls in the 90s, which how that upload time had to be so long. But, and Fisk is like, no, this is actually perfect. We're about to unmask Spider-Man. Patch this in. No, how did you know how to do that shit?
I know.
He had Wolf. Where you would just get a fax and a text and everything at the same time. I have such a passion for anything. And there's been a ton of movies. Point Blank in the 60s with Lee Marvin. All the way up to like basically everything Tarantino
does.
Where if you're a criminal, the Wire sort of worked like this a little bit. Where like Stringer Bell was going to college classes to learn business, to do crime better. I love how all like legitimate business and illegitimate business works the same. Like it's the same hierarchy. You have CEOs. Like we have Crime Central. We have meetings. Fucking, that's so awesome to me.
And it is a hostile takeover. This guy declared himself the kingpin of crime, but bro, your petty squabblings are messing up all of our actual crime. The reason we're here to do things. So we are voting you out.
That's the thing is that like Elon Musk is not a true billionaire despite his bank account because he won't shut the fuck up. True, secret, dark billionaires, you never hear about them. You never know about them. Kingpin has to be on Maine.
On Silvermane.
On Silvermane.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean Lex Luthor. I meant Lex Luthor's dad.
Lionel.
Lex Silverman. Lionel, thank you.
Shredded grandpa. The people know about that shredded dude.
Some people eat shredded wheat for the morning. Others eat shredded grandpa.
He does. He live streams. Fisk live streams. He's like, check it out. We're unmasking him. They unmask him. They find out it is Peter Parker. And you're like, oh, shit. This is going to be terrible for him. Except they all instantly are like, not this bitch. No, it couldn't be him.
It's Doc Ock. He's like, nah, I taught him, this weak little bitch. Oh, this is why he sucked. Because he's trying to trick us. And this is Peter is actually smart. He's like, you caught me. And then Rhino after that's like, what? Oh, I get it. No, you don't, Rhino. You still don't fucking get it.
You never did. You never will. Well, but like, I would be insulted mostly because of my tailoring skills. Because they said in this cheap Spider-Man suit. No, this is the OG Spider-Man suit that the real Spider-Man wears.
What I love is not only because he's taught him and that Parker like butters him up and he's like, yeah, you were one of my favorite instructors. Doc Ock kind of loves Peter Parker's spunk. For being like, he's like, you're such a weak little bitch, and you still showed up to try to fight us to save your aunt. respect, bro, respect. Let's go find real Spider-Man.
And I gotta say, this like hit hard where like in today's world, when facts are revealed, you refuse to believe them.
Yeah.
You know, like you'll just conform it into your own story instead of being like, here is Peter Parker. It was also nice that his powers happened to go out at the same time he was unmasked. That was lucky.
That was lucky. I love that Silvermane, trying out for the Comedy Central roast, he reads Fisk and Parker for filth in the same line because he says, you kidnap an old lady and strong-arm her weak nephew?
Yeah.
How dare you call yourself the kingpin of crime?
Oh, and Aunt May. There was three targets there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's an old lady. That's not... No, is that an insult?
Most grievous insult.
She just is an old lady. That's facts.
All right, Mike, go to fucking Walmart tomorrow and start calling old ladies and see how it works out.
Excuse me, old lady. How's that hip?
They do. So they are like, you got to take us to the real guy. Silvermane is like, other crime lords, it's our time. Fisk fucked up. Let's take over. And then in the middle of this, for some reason, Doc Ock and all of them think it's important that Peter does fake being Peter, healing up in the bed so Aunt May can feel better.
Even these hardened costumed criminals are like, we've held this old lady up long enough, right? Let's have Parker tell her to get out of here.
Yeah. Which was just this nice moment. And I was like, oh,
and then she refuses to leave. Be sure.
Yeah.
Until she could put some fucking wet ones on his cheeks.
I was so worried if it was gonna be
his face cheeks.
His facial cheeks. Yeah, I really also thought it was going to be full on open mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if Peter has never wanted to reveal to his villains that him and Aunt May just do full tongue every time?
Look, I don't like it, but she lost her husband. I don't know how to comfort her.
I don't know what to do. Please help me. So they do have this, and then we cut to Crime Lord Squarehead. What?
Hammerhead.
Hammerhead, yeah. We have to get to Hammerhead's entrance into the building. But I do want to talk about that whole scene where Mysterio and Chameleon are working overtime to do this stupid little prank on an old lady. They are supposed to be career villains. How many times has Chameleon been that nurse in his home?
A lot.
Who barely changes her voice. She's still like, hey. Chameleon doesn't have that belt power where he's like, hey, I'm the female nurse and you better get out of here, bud.
It's very close to Dr. Girlfriend from the Venture Brothers voice.
Oh, the first time I ever thought that I might be gay? That.
Oh, Dr. Girlfriend, we miss you.
Dr. Girlfriend, you have a weird part in my dreams. I will tell you that.
Speaking of gay confusion, we do have Hammerhead coming in with this guy. The way they draw this man's head in there, I was like, I get it. I see where it came from. But he is going there. He's running over to Silvermane to warn him, I believe.
To protect him, because even though they're all crime lords, Silvermane's old. So therefore, Hammerhead's like, I guess he's in charge. Fisk is going to come after us. We got to save him.
But like the other thing, too, is that like, you always like how it's going right now. You know, like you don't want a power vacuum.
Right.
You know, like the entire movie, The Godfather, is basically about how the Godfather gets shot immediately and then shit goes to chaos. Even if Silvermane is your rival and maybe you want some of his or all of his territory, you don't want somebody else to come in and just wipe it away.
Which is very different than Hammerhead in the comics, who is always like, great, is there a vacuum? Because I'm hoovering that shit up.
I'm going to clean this carpet so fucking good. And you have to give props to Hammerhead for pulling up to a building that is guarded by five of the most mobsteriest mobsters I've ever seen. And just saying like, no, I'm getting in this building. He's got a Hammerhead.
The fact that this crime dude has a building, and you know, normally they try to blend in, but he threw out straight dudes in pin suits with Tommy guns and was like, guard my doors.
He sent them to Party City to get the generic mobster Halloween costume each.
All of you came dressed like 1996 mobsters. Go home and change. You need to be 1937 mobsters. I want to see Tommy guns.
I need those. But yes, he does go to warn him. And then we see Fisk, who is working on his plan to make sure the crime lords knows he's a big bad crime boy also. And it's just dragging Rhino dangling from a helicopter.
Yeah, great, great subtle plan.
I do think that's how they transport rhinos, from zoo to zoo, right?
Oh!
Is it really?
So that is realistic. Wow. I think so.
So yes, they are doing this, and you're like, what's happening? It turns out he needs Rhino to bust through the building. Fucking great.
It's like three plans at once to attack Silvermane, because it's Rhino as a bulldozer.
Wrecking ball.
Wrecking ball, thank you. Rhino's a wrecking ball. Mysterio and Doc Ock are just coming in through the roof. And then we find out the Hammerhead is actually Chameleon.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. And this is the plan. They do take over. They capture Silvermane.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, like, let's be clear, especially coming up to this Biden-Trump election, Silvermane is literally, like, we're dealing with so many different types of fantasy characters. Silvermane is literally just an old dude.
He is from Home Alone 2, Duncan's toy chest owner, Duncan. That's how old and kindly Silvermane knows he can look sometimes. But imagine
you are Duncan on Silvermane right now.
Imagine that guy. I'm a Dunk King. Imagine that guy led a mob.
I think at some point Silvermane became a head, just a head that they would carry around.
Oh,
like,
fun.
Futurama would do with Richard Nixon. I think that's what he eventually... But right now, he's literally an old guy in a suit who will go to phone booths to make declarations. Like, that is his power. I will call people on the phone.
And I do... And Chameleon, this is showing how good he is. It's not just he has a magic belt. Once they kidnap Silvermane, he runs out to all of his mobsters dressed like 37 mobsters, and he says... Get out of my sight, you loosest dunderheads. So he knows how Silvermane would talk.
He gets it. So yeah, they've essentially taken over this building, which is part one of their plan, maybe. Step five, who knows. But then they get Spider-Man, or Peter Parker, to lead them to where Spider-Man always meets him at midnight on a rooftop. And their disguise go-to for Doc Ock and Spider-Man is just a trench coat to cover up what they've been hiding.
Sure.
I'm sorry, like, Cassie, is this the first time or maybe the second time that you've mentioned that person's name in this conversation? Peter Parker or Spider-Man?
Yeah. He's
like, we are in a villain front season. Like, this is front loaded with other people who don't wear that sweater with the turquoise stripe on it anymore.
R.I.P. to that one. But then Peter's like, yeah, we meet at this rooftop. I'm always by myself though, so it's gonna look weird if you guys are here. And Mysterio's like, don't fucking worry, I got this. And then just turns them into like a Stonehenge version of air conditioning units.
Do you know what's scarier than six supervillains on a roof is fans that look like they have moved to encircle Peter Parker. That's terrifying.
Like, he didn't worry about spacing at all. He's like, nobody's gonna look twice at this. This is great. Let's go. And Peter's like, I'm not even worried about this, because earlier he stole a little VR cube thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it seem like a jet has attacked them with a missile. Because why not?
I hate to be this guy. I don't want to ask like CinemaSins questions, but who determines what a holocube does?
Oh,
is it like
your thoughts as you throw it? Is it like, does it detect that person's worst fears? Is it like Hawkeye's quiver, where you pull a certain holocube out and then throw it down?
I think Mysterio has 1,000 of these. He knows what they all are. But Parker was just like, I guess it's a jet. Early on in the episode, when they're fighting Spider-Man, they don't know it's Peter Parker yet, they all trip over 1,000 of these cubes, and Doc Ock is even like, I told you to put your shit away. Why is it even in here, man? It's so disorganized.
This is a terrible process you have. So he keeps kind of distracting them with those, and he jumps off a building, falls off a building.
First he says, look out, Spider-Man, it's an ambush.
Yeah,
and then
his tracks.
Get shot off the roof.
Oh, by Shocker, gay icon Shocker shoots him off the roof. But luckily his powers come back right in that time, so he's able to become full Spider-Man again.
And he saves Silvermane, who has at this point been dangling as if he's some sort of rhinoceros being transported from zoo to zoo from that helicopter.
But again, he's just an 89-year-old man.
Yeah.
And Fisk is one, like, instead of being like, what a weird confluence of events, he goes, of course, Silvermane and Spider-Man are allies. All right, moron. And Peter is like, I don't know why they're kidnapping you, old man, but I'm going to save you, old man. And Silvermane's been like, all right, stop calling me old man.
And this is, I'm going to send 1,000 1930s mobsters to your house to fucking kill you if you call me that one more time. But I think this speaks to the beauty of Peter Parker, where he wants to fight the bad guys in the big spandex suits, doesn't understand that he's protecting maybe the worst of them the entire
yes.
time.
Yeah.
And this is pretty clever for a kid's show.
Pretty clever indeed.
It's always
pretty clever.
Capitalism, guys. Capitalism is always the bad guy.
Green Arrow gets that before every other superhero. Spidey starts putting him down a chimney, and he makes a joke. He's just like, if you say ho, 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 it might make this easier for you. Silvermane runs with that. Even though he's an industrial chimney, runs into children somehow, and then it's just like, I'll only give you presents on Christmas, but keep my secret. Thank you.
These first of all, fucking dumbass kids. Who
those kids need to be fucking shot. First of all, if this guy is in my chimney, even if he looked like Santa Claus, I would still be like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
This is crazy. But he looks nothing like Santa
no,
Claus.
No, he's just an old dude in a mobster suit.
And they're like, see you later, Santa. Fucking idiots. Kids are idiots.
At best, you're like, hi, Phoebe Kate's dad. I hope you don't die this time.
Yeah. It's weird that you transported it into this chimney. And he gave him no presents. But Silvermane loves the attention. He's like, I am one of the leaders of Crime Central, and yet look at my social media status
yeah.
is going up.
He's even like, and this is the closest he comes to revealing his true identity to Spider-Man. He's just like, I think you just helped my reputation leaps and bounds. And Spider-Man's like, okay, nice old weirdo.
Who is probably not part of Crime Central. And then Silvermane runs to a phone and makes a phone call and says, Kingpin has to be dead, eradicated. And he just starts coming up with other terms for, like, killing Kingpin. And it cut before this, but you know, that when Silvermane went to hang up that phone, he slammed it so hard to hang up. Like, he slammed it so many times.
While Peter / Spider-Man is protecting this old feeble man, he's also getting the Insidious Six.
Yep,
that's it.
Nailed it.
To kind of, like, turn on each other. Rhino attacks Shocker, gets a little tear in his suit.
Spidey pretends he's Chameleon because Rhino finds him and he's coming after him, and he's like, I'm the Chameleon, you idiot. I'll trick Spider-Man by thinking he's me. And Rhino's like, okay. And he's like, that's Spider-Man to his shadow. And that's when Rhino just sprints right at the Shocker.
So good.
He's not a smart man.
But he knows what rhinos are.
And later, this was an important plot point because Spider-Man throws Shocker into a water tower, which New York has tons of, and he almost explodes in this fucking water tower.
He has time to strip out of his entire costume, save his mask, and jumps out of a water tower.
He knows how important it is. And such an important cutscene in this, we do have, I'm blanking on his name, Mullet Science Boy is in the helicopter.
Smythe.
Oh God! Why were we not in the helicopter the entire time? These two
catty bitches,
Kingpin and Scythe, together was amazing. At one point, Kingpin's like, they're trying to get Spider-Man. Like, well, it looks like we're fishing for spiders, and then he just looks at Scythe, waiting
like,
for
a that's
response.
Not a
and
thing.
Scythe turns around and like he just stares at him like. Was that a joke? Or, like,
imagine
was that a play
if the
on
two,
words.
Imagine if Statler and Waldorf, the two old men Muppets from the Muppets, hated each other. That is Fisk and Smythe here.
And Smythe, when the costume goes down, has this weird mournful moment. The saddest I've ever seen this boy of like my costume is destroyed.
My costume. I want a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead of this entire episode with just us in the helicopter. I love these two.
So good. Eventually, there's like a whole bunch of fighting going on, but Spider-Man gets the Insidious Six to essentially turn on each other. Then Fisk's operation falls apart, and they're like, I don't really want to work for this guy anymore. He does kind of suck. He's not good at crime. Let's kind of do our own thing.
Which means he's good at justice? Like, that means he's a good citizen, right?
He's just a dude?
Just a dude. And then we get to, like, that's it. Fisk is like, don't worry, I'm still gonna get this old bag. We cut to the next day. Peter's trying to apologize to Felicia, for bailing on their event. And Mobius is like, don't fucking worry, bro. I got her. I'm her science boy. Fuck you.
What I love is, no, she has dinner plans tonight. and the rest of the week. Yeah. Bold move after one date, Morbius.
Morby, that's not how dating works. You don't take them out to dinner every night of the week.
Let them miss you a little.
First of all, that's going to get expensive. Second of all, nobody wants to go to Denny. Nobody wants a fucking grand slam 7 nights for dinner.
You speak for yourself.
And then also, I thought Morbius was going to be like, I'm going to have her for dinner.
Yeah. But that's
we're not there yet.
A weirdo.
He's just a guy who acts like a vampire, but who is
He's not a vampire.
Right.
Well, this is just Michael Morbius, a 45-year-old college student. I don't understand. It's not Morbin time yet.
Not fucking yet. Peter goes home and he's like, you know, damn, I don't got no girls, but let me go see Aunt May. Mary J is there to comfort Aunt May, and she just immediately pieces out, says the weirdest line of like, see you later, tiger. I just fucking weird vibes the whole time.
Peter Parker walks in, and then Mary Jane stands up and says, jackpot, tiger, jackpot, tiger, and then just walks out the
and
door.
And this is why AI will never take over your writing.
And then we cut to Spider-Man is with the professor, who's checking in on his DNA again, and he's like, whoa, dude, this shit's popping off. You got mutagenics, fucking good term there, and you're transforming again. It turns out the spider thing wasn't a one-time thing. You're turning into something. I don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's human.
I hate. Like, I don't fucking like any changes of Spider-Man, but I have to ask Mike, I have to ask current Mike and child Mike, did you get a little bit of a Alan Tudyk double erection? Are mutants coming soon?
Yes, that's exactly when he's, because Spider-Man's like, mutant.
And then looked at the camera and like pulled finger guns
and then he hummed. But also, like, doctors shouldn't do this of like, I don't know what's going on, but you're not human anymore, bro. What?
Well, doctors should also have two arms.
I can't stand behind that. Doctors, you're allowed to have as many arms as you want.
Have Doc Ock number of arms is the proper amount.
Oh, six?
Six arms.
Six. I won't Octopuses very famously have eight arms.
But
God
he has two legs. That's where it all comes. He has eight
but
limbs.
Those are legs. He also has eight fingers, Mike.
Whoa,
should those count
why?
As some of his legs?
Well, those aren't limbs. Yes, his fingers are his legs. His legs are his toes. What is this, the end of a superhero show?
A spatula.
But that is how the episode ends, because this is a multi-parter. It keeps continuing.
Part two of 14? Is that what we're on?
Yeah, dude. But let's go ahead and go on to our Webby Awards. Let's start it off with most 90s thing. Mike, what do you got for it?
It is the Connors tells Parker that he has a mutagenic factor in his DNA, and Parker goes, a mutant? Feels very 90s.
In the 90s, people would be like, what is that? And the doctor would be like, mutant?
Mutant. And we've talked about this before, DNA. The 90s were obsessed with DNA.
They just didn't understand it yet. They're like, it can do fucking anything.
Dino DNA.
Dino DNA.
Ryan, what do you got for most 90s thing?
When I think the 90s, Cassie, I think the 70s. Mm-hmm. And who was the voice of one of the characters here? Scorpion. It was Donna from That 70s Show. Her dad, that guy, was the voice of Scorpion, and that is 90s as fuck.
That 70s Show is 90s as fuck.
It absolutely is. Along the same vein here, when I think 90s, I think 1930s, and it's very 90s to portray crime lords as mobsters.
All right, Cassie, you get negative 1 point.
I nailed it. I did great on this. Mike, by default, I think you're the only one who gets points. And just
how I win.
I'll give you 2 for the only one making sense. I'm proud of you, kid. Our next
if I had to be honest, the reason I hang out with Ryan is because he always loses points, and therefore I win points.
It's a great technique. Let's go to best web zinger. Ryan, what do you got for it?
Okay, so not full Spider-Man. This is Peter Parker, but like, this is one that, guys, you could use in your regular life. When somebody says, Coats, you say, no, thank you. I already have one.
That was good.
You and like, the people who are trying to take your coat, they love that. They're going to be like, oh, that's so fucking good. That's so fucking good.
Mike, what do you got for best web singer?
I'm giving it to Mary Jane. because Spider-Man or Parker walks into his house and she's there. He's like, "You were worried?" And she says, "Of course I was worried about your aunt," before she leaves. I'm like, "Hell yeah, girl."
You get it.
She's spicy.
She's absolutely spicy. There was just too much thrown at me on this one. I don't have a best web zinger, so I'm going to say it last week when Scorpion said, kiss my acid or whatever he said. But Ryan, I'm going to give this one to you. You are going to get 2 points as well. Our next one is Kung Fu Grip, a.k.a. Best Use of Power. Mike, what do you got for it?
It's Best Use of Lack of Power. It is Peter Parker as Spider-Man, but they think he's Peter Parker, yelling to nobody, "Look out, Spider-Man," and saving himself as both Spider-Man and Parker after he gets shot off the roof. All of that is like, oh, yeah, this guy is supposed to be smart. It's so rare we see it. Here you go.
That's much like my web zinger. That's something that you can use in real life, like in that movie Force Majeure, where the avalanche comes down and the guy just runs away instead of saving his family, for you to be, "Look out, Mike," and just and run away
into a new life.
Which Mike does every 10 years.
Ryan, oh, we are
on the
up.
Dot.
We are coming up.
Ryan, what do you got for this?
Not a lot of Spider-Man action moves, but I love how he does not believe that, or he does not know that Silvermane is a part of Crime Central. And his idea is, what is that, a chimney? I'm going to put this fucking old man down a chimney. What the fuck? Peter, Spider-Man, whoever you are right now, what a move. What a fucking bold move.
To see a feeble old man and you're like, "I'll throw him down a chimney and save him." To save him.
Hopefully this chimney works like they do in fables and not like how chimneys actually work. And hopefully at the bottom are two kids who just appreciate, just love an old man down a chimney and don't shoot you to death. Peter Parker, you're fucking wild.
You are, sir. We've all used a lack of power. I did the same. It's the power to not use, like, you could get a wrecking ball, but you also have a rhino. Let me just use a rhino to get through this building. Loved it. It's perfect. But I am going to give that to you, Ryan, to throw an old man down a chimney. Great power. 3 points for that.
Did you guys think at any point that Kingpin is Donald Trump and then he's using Rhino and he's trying to destroy Rhino because Rhino also means Republican in name only?
It's all
that's
I thought
what
about.
He wants out of it.
Me too, we but. We all had this. Our next award is New York is a Character. Mike, what do you got for it?
It's throwing Shocker right in one of New York's 1,000 water towers.
Yes.
Mike, I remember stories where you had to walk to school when you were in New York.
Climbing water towers up both ways.
Was it just dodging falling water towers?
Just dodging them or jumping from one into another and swimming to the edge of it.
Or drinking from them? Hey, I need some water. Cut down a
drink
water
from
tower.
One, you gotta pee. You pee in one. It's the water tower's there for whatever you need. What a city!
What a
water city!
Ryan, the right answer is absolutely water tower. But what do you have?
Cassie, I know New York better than any of you two, and I know that every building is guarded by 5 mobsters from the 30s. Is it guarded, Mike, or is it guarded?
Guarded.
Guardia.
Yeah, it's like the mayor, the disgraced mayor.
Every building is guarded by 5 1930s mobsters fully armed with deadly weapons.
Deadly, deadly weapons. I was with Mike, though. It was the water tower that is the most New York thing. And you know the rules, Ryan. He got the same thing as me, which means he's going to win. And I'm going to give him 3 points for that. Our final one is compliment me through this Spider-Man episode. Ryan, what do you got for it?
There's a awesome moment where Silvermane gives one of his guys orders, and then after the guy goes to carry out those orders, he just goes, "Huh, and then just lasts for 10 minutes because it's actually the chameleon instead of Silvermane, and he just keeps laughing. And at some point you would think one of Silvermane's guys would be like, "Why does Silvermane laugh for 10 minutes every time he gives me orders?" And Cassie, every time you say something, I laugh for 10 minutes straight. I love it all.
God, I thought you were going to turn that on me, that I just...
It's Cassie compliment time.
Yeah. It just surprises me every time you kind of do a compliment. It's the most touching thing. Thank you so much. Mike, compliment me through this episode.
It was so nice to see you represented on screen. A part of your personality that the listeners don't get to hear that Ryan and I do is you scream at us and often use old lingo. I haven't only you and like Al Swearingen from Deadwood have I heard call anybody a dunderhead until this episode. So it was so nice to hear a Cassie-style insult come out of somebody's mouth.
Oh, and I have a real quick bonus, if I may. People at home don't hear this, but at some point, Kingpin hears bad news and grabs a butt plug off of his desk and smashes it. And every time me and Mike say something that Cassie doesn't like, I don't know how many butt plugs are in your room, Cassie, but like you smash so many butt plugs.
Yeah. I mean business. And I think we can tell that I'm the real winner here from those compliments. So I'm gonna give myself 2 points for that one. Go me. That brings our final two. I have 2 points. Mike has 5 points. I think Ryan also has 5 points. You guys are both Spidey boys this week. Good job.
Flip, flip.
Tie.
It's a tie. And that is it for this episode, which means it's now time for Mike to tell me about some websites.
Popfilter.co is where you can go to get all of the stuff that we make. Throw a little slash Amazon at the end of that, popfilter.co/Amazon. That's how you shop now. Bookmark that. It helps us while still getting your, I need my thumb drive in 2 hours or whatever the fuck you're there for. Do that and help us. And also, what was the website from before? Witchsnacks.org. If you want to put little snacks on your fingers and eat them like a witch.
It's the best website out there. Speaking of the best, we got another show on the network that is the best. Ryan, please tell the people about it.
Movie of the Year is the show that you could subscribe to, rate, and review. I would suggest rating it 5 stars, reviewing it. Just type in 5 stars.
Yeah.
Just type in, hey, I'm a Rye guy, and I love what Ryan is doing and what Mike and Greg are doing to a much lesser extent.
I believe this week on Movie of the Year, which does come out on Thursdays, it is the best movies of 2023.
Oh, but we're still working on 2023. So, yeah, thank you, Mike, for being up to date. Yeah, I think that's it.
It's a great one. 2023, great. All great over there.
Cassie, can you reveal right now what won best movie of 2023?
For sure.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Exactly.
Good job. That is what won.
That is it, for sure. We're also on social media. We are at Your Pop Filter on Instagram. Give us a follow over there. We also got an email. It's contact@popfilter.co. Send us any questions that you have, any comments, any concerns, any reviews. Send us fucking anything over there. We love emails. Next week, you guys, we're doing a three-peat. That's right, it's the same episode. We got more Resident Alien, we got more S-Taz, we got more The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Lived. So check it out. We're doing it. For Mike, I'm Ryan. For Ryan, I am Mike. For me, I am E. Bye, everyone.
Harmonizing?
Yeah, are you ready? 1, 2, 3. No, don't do it.
I'm so ready.
I know. I just wanted to crush Mike's dreams. I'm so sorry for crushing your dreams.